Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
It is good to be home. And amen, with a good report. And I'll share it later, because I am ready to get into the Word. So today is Palm Sunday. Do you know that? What's Palm Sunday mean? All kind of things. Well, officially it's the week before Easter. And it is the celebration of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem as Jesus prophesied, as many of the Old Covenant prophets prophesied of his coming and what was going to transpire. Today is as every bit relevant and important as that day was over 2,000 years ago. Every bit. The song we just sang comes out of what transpired during that week that Jesus walked into Jerusalem. 8 days, we're going to talk about it today. 8 days from when he had and celebrated Passover with his disciples. And the significance of that particular Passover. Tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, not understanding the significance of what was going to transpire that week. So, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read about 12 or 13 verses here. But before I do, let me pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. That today, as we prepare to celebrate next week, Easter, we know significant things transpired from that Sunday before to that Sunday where Jesus came out of that grave. And for us, when he called our name, we came out of our graves. Graves of death, disparity, shame, gloom and doom, unfulfilled lives. And today we celebrate, Father, we celebrate all that Jesus accomplished for us. We remember it as a reminder of the price that was paid for our salvation. So today I pray that you will speak to us through your word. Let it be life. As we go out of this building in an hour or so, Father, into the mission field in which you have called us, our Jerusalem, Gainesville, Alachua County, North Central Florida, into the outer parts of the world, that you have given us influence and opportunities. So I thank you for the anointing that's on your word today. And I thank you that to everyone that has an ear to hear, the promises is that we can hear. And in hearing, it produces life. So we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And he said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." I don't know about you, but I don't want a stone to ever replace my voice. That's why we do what we just spent the last half an hour doing, worshiping Jesus. Because if we're not going to worship him, the earth is going to cry out and worship him. But we have the opportunity and the blessing of being able to raise our voices, to lift up our hands, to shout with a voice of triumph. Why? Because we have been made victorious. Come on, somebody. Through everything that Jesus did from the day he rode into Jerusalem and even before until the day he was resurrected. It's a triumphant time. It's a time of rejoicing, and many in Jerusalem had never seen Jesus before. It was their first time. They had heard about this man who had preached an amazing message to the multitudes and declared and had heard that it was the greatest message ever brought to mankind. And as we know, it was and it is. We still preach Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. The stories that Jesus told, the parables that he told, the hours that he stood on the side of that mountain speaking that story brought hope and faith and life. They also had heard that this man had caused blind eyes to open, lame people to walk, deaf people to hear, dead people to come out of the grave, including his friend Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth." They had heard, but they had never witnessed. They had heard the stories that had passed down from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to all the surrounding communities and towns, places where Jesus had both been and had not been. The stories of him were being told. And there was an excitement in the air. They had no clue what was going to transpire that week, and yet they came out. And it says that as they were coming out, they began to tear the branches off the trees so that they could throw them on the ground in front of the colt that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. They were shouting, "Hosanna!" You know what that means? What does it mean to you? I don't know about you, but man, I love in my deep times of worship, "Hosanna, Hosanna, King of Kings, Lord of Lords," to celebrate, to let it begin to boil up within your spirit, man, your soul, to begin in your own private times. You don't need Pastor Jamie to lead you to worship. You get to have him lead us in worship. But aren't you glad you're not limited? As great as he is, last week he's preaching along and we're sitting with our friends, Dr. Udice and Tessa in Little Rock watching service. And I knew it, Jamie can't preach without busting out in song. And one of these days, I'm gonna do it. One of these days, I'm gonna just bust out. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior." Oh, come on, somebody. Pastor Ron, we can do it. If Jamie can do it, we can do it. It might not sound like him, but then I don't have to sound like him. I preach better than he does. So, I mean, I'm just saying, he's a son. He's going to get there. Matter of fact, Pastor Jamie, Dr. UD said last week, he is so excited at your word. He said, "You got to go home and tell Pastor Jamie he's got to develop that message. That's not a one Sunday message. So go ahead and take Dr. UD's advice, and in 5 or 6, 7 months, I'll let you preach again." Y'all know that's not the truth, dude. I don't want any stones crying out for me. How about you? Make a declaration every time you have an opportunity to praise Jesus, whether it's privately or corporately. You're not going to stand there with your hands in your pocket and your mouth shut because you ain't got nothing to say. If Jesus has saved you, you got to shout it from the housetops. You got to learn how to praise Jesus with all that's within you and get rid of that crapola in your mind that that's not your personality. Your personality deserves death and hell, but Jesus died on the cross so you could have life, so you could celebrate him, so you could lift up your voice, so you could shout because of all that he did. Come on, that's some good preaching right there. So the story of Palm Sunday, man, I love it. There's no greater story ever told than this story that many scholars call the Holy Week, the drama that's unfolded during the 8 days that began with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, Palm Sunday. Good Friday. I've never understood that terminology. I mean, I know it's good for us, but it wasn't good for Jesus. I mean, he knew what he was about to suffer. And he didn't hold back with his hands in his pocket going, I don't feel like it today. Come on, somebody. Don't get offended at your pastor today. You got to love me to get to heaven. Good Friday ended a horrible day. The sun was covered. The veil and the temple was torn asunder. The clouds rolled in. It was dark. It was heavy. And Jesus hung on the tree and declared, "It is finished." And when he did, his eyes closed. And the life, the blood, had dripped out of his body. There was nothing left. I've found in the last 4 years and 5 months in the battle I've walked through how important blood is. Can't live without blood. And you can't live without healthy blood, not healthy. All of the blood in Christ had dropped and run down that tree. He declared it is finished. And the centurion, standing, watching, observing everything that had transpired that day, declared, "He is indeed the Son of God." Wow. A Roman soldier is the one who prophesied it and declared it. He is indeed the Son of God. They took him down off that tree and they buried him. And Satan and all the demons in hell were having a party. Man, they were celebrating. They were rejoicing because they had heard it. It is finished. Y'all hear that? It's over. We won. Aren't you glad for Sunday? Love Sundays. There's just something about waking up on Sunday morning. Especially if you go to bed on Saturday night at a decent time. But waking up, the sun has not yet come up. But boy, there's an excitement. Today I woke up, looked out, realized it was still dark, and had a spirit of expectation about church, about being with the saints, about getting some hugs, getting some love, getting stirred, kissing some babies, celebrating with the family, who, by the way, we're going to spend eternity with. Some folks left us recently because they don't like me anymore. And I wonder which heaven they're going to, because I know where I'm going. Because I still love them, and I miss them. But you know what? There's only one God. One Lord, one Savior, one Jesus, one heaven. And we're going to be together, not because our doctrine's perfect, but because we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Because we've been redeemed, set free, made family, and we're going to get to be together. The other night, some of us celebrated a birthday party for my former assistant who left me. I forgave her. Oh, she just snorted too. See that? Y'all heard that, didn't you? That was a familiar snort. I used to hear it every day in my office. But we were celebrating with Melissa. She turned 40 years young. Seemed like yesterday she was a college student brought up here. Her folks were friends with Juan and his family and came on a Thursday night to church, and Sunday she was in my house. And in 20 years have come and gone, marriage and children and life. But we, many of us that have a relationship with her, got to celebrate with her. And there's something about celebrations, about just preparing yourself to celebrate something or someone. Sundays, we prepare ourselves to celebrate corporately what we do privately all week, and that is come together, rub shoulders, hug necks, pray together, have a cup of coffee together, sit down and chat with someone, talk, and be encouraged by someone, encouraging someone else. We don't come to church just to get. We come to the house of God to give what has freely been given to us. We get to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Next Sunday, we're going to have two services, 9 o'clock and 11:15. And a lot of people are going to come. Some of them came last Easter. I'm going to welcome them back. Because who knows, but one of these Easters, they're going to have a revelation. They've been wandering around, lost and hopeless, looking for what would satisfy their soul. Once a year is not enough. But once a year, if it takes that to get you to the point where one day, and so this week, we're going to be praying. We're going to be fasting. We're going to be celebrating together. We're going to be preparing our hearts to bring the word in worship, to bring the word preached, to bring the word through fellowship, to bring the word through a cup of coffee. We're going to prepare ourselves all week. We're going to pray and fast. And then Saturday night, 5 o'clock, right here on the front lawn of the Rock of Gainesville, for all of you that want to come, we're going to spend an hour in worship. We're going to pray. We're going to have communion. We're going to celebrate as believers what we expect to happen next Sunday. And that is many will come to Christ. Not just here at the Rock of Gainesville, but at Greenhouse, at Family Church, at First Met, wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, we're asking God to save souls next Sunday. All across Gainesville, all across the state of Florida, all across America, all across this great world that God created. We're asking God, let there be a harvest of souls. People that have been wandering about, lost, hopeless, discouraged, beaten down, lied to. I was watching a video on Friday of some testimonies from the God's Not Dead event that took place here in Gainesville as they were videoing some of the students after the gathering. And I was so encouraged as several college students boldly proclaimed on this video, before I came tonight, I did not know Jesus Christ. I had so many questions. I knew about religion, but tonight, through the answers that were given and the declaration that God's not dead, I came to the realization that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and God's not dead. So I gave my life to him and I rejoice. Wow, what an awesome thing when someone surrenders to Jesus Christ. So we'll get through Good Friday and next Sunday we'll celebrate the resurrection. But I want to tell you the days in between are foundational. The days from the beginning or the end of Passover and Jesus coming into Jerusalem to the next Sunday when he's resurrected, they're foundational and they're significant for understanding the world that we live in and for the eternity in which we so wholly believe and believe that we will spend with Father God. But all of that is given to us through the spiritual gifts of the obedience of Jesus the Christ, the one who was willing to go to the cross. That's why we as believers should never hold back our praise, our adoration, our thanksgiving. We should not allow our personalities or our mindset to stand in the way from wholly giving everything we have to Jesus Christ, because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. I said, because he's worthy. Amen? Is he worthy to you? What he did, no other man would ever do for you. Not your daddy, not your mama, not your brother, not your sister. What Jesus did, he did alone. And he did it, hear me, with you in mind. Man, I love every once in a while just thinking, Jesus did this for me. Not for Sarah Bess, for me. Sarah Bess can find it all she wants. No, Pastor, it was for me. I know, well, it might have been for you too, but it was for me. I mean, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died for me. And man, do I never want to take that for granted. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see clearly. I see that my life outside of God has no purpose. I see that my life just living for me is worthless. But when I give myself, no matter what your profession is, don't sit there and say, well, Pastor, you ought to be that way because you're a preacher. No. We're all saints because we've been redeemed. We're saints because we've been forgiven. We're saints because Jesus died on the cross for us, and he did it for all his saints. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they're just there to teach us and help us and provide for us. But they're no more important to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. We are all significant in his eyes. It's my prayer over all the young people in this house, all the children, all the youth, is that they come to a place. I was talking to someone 2 weeks ago. I had the privilege to go skiing for the first time in 7 years with some of my family and friends from the church. And I was on the ski lift with a young man, and I said, so what happened in your life? Because I know you grew up in a pastor's home, in a missionary's home, but when you went to the university, you lost your way. And he said, Pastor, I was lost. I mean, the very fact that he's on the ski slope sitting with me was a testimony he got saved. Because before that, he wouldn't have been sitting on that ski slope with me. He wouldn't have been near my family. Why? Because he was running from God. He just had a baby a couple of months ago. Little tiny preemie baby. Little baby. Matter of fact, we were on the slope and his wife called and we're FaceTiming. So I get to see her and the baby. And that baby's been out of the hospital for, I don't know, maybe a month or so. And it still looks like it ought to be in the womb. This is a tiny baby. But I'm talking with him, and he said, Pastor, I don't know how I would have made it through what we just went through had Jesus not become Lord of my life, fresh and alive And it's no longer my daddy's faith or my mama's faith or my sister's faith. It's my faith. And he told me the story of how God brought this woman into his life who became his wife, who brought him back to the light. And what a joy sitting with a young man that just a few years ago was lost. His daddy and mama praying for his salvation. See, that's why all week this week, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to invite everybody that Holy Spirit drops into our heart, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a person that you work with or work for, or somebody that works for you. And as you're praying this week and saying, God, help me, I want to be the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this dark world that we're living in. And Holy Spirit opens doors. Be faithful. Hand them a card, give them an invitation, invite them to church, invite them to lunch afterwards, whatever it takes to get them. Because how will they be saved unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone goes to where they are? It might be the grocery store or the gas station or the restaurant. Or you're walking around your neighborhood. I find oftentimes as I walk late in the afternoons to worship and to praise and to get exercise, that the Lord almost always brings a neighbor by. And last night, a neighbor came by. I'm walking, got my ear pods in. I'm just worshiping away. And all of a sudden, it's like, he taps me with his little car. I'm like, sorry about that. I get off the road, and we start talking, and I send my health report to every one of my neighbors, saved and unsaved. You should hear the responses I get from my unsaved neighbors, some of my Jewish neighbors. Sweet. This man yesterday is like, Pastor, that was an amazing word you sent me. Oh my God. Pastor said a four-letter word in church. But that's what he said. And he was sincere. He was like, man, wow. He said a few other words. I'm not going to say the rest of them. That woke y'all up. That's some of y'all out of your sleep and slumber there. Do you know what he said? He said, thank you for sharing with my wife and I a good story. Because he said, you know, man, it seems like our world is falling apart. We need to hear something good. My prayer for him, for all of my neighbors. They're wandering in their own wilderness. The Jews had to wander for 40 years. Some of my precious neighbors, they're wandering, they're looking, and they need to experience a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, the one who came riding into Jerusalem. John chapter 12, this is another version of the same story, verse 12. John chapter 12, verse 12 says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, in Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, I think as we read these texts and we look at the scene that was unfolding in Jerusalem, we see a scene of triumph. Jesus is not, you know, moping about. He's not, woe is me. He knew what was coming down the street, but he still walked in victory. Wow, that's a word for somebody right there. I don't even know where that came from, but that's a word for somebody. He knew what was coming. He didn't put on a pouty face, a sourpuss face, a woe is me face, I'm doing this for all you clowns face. He rode in on that donkey victorious. Pharisees, teacher, what are you doing? Stop them. He said, stop them? What do you mean? If they stop, the rocks are going to start crying out. The trees are going to begin to scream my praises. Wow. He knew what was coming, but he still walked in victory. You could probably close your eyes and visualize the scene. You could probably feel the heat of that day in Jerusalem. You could probably hear in your mind the shouts of the crowd as you remember the prophecies that Zechariah gave in the old covenant. Matter of fact, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet is declaring, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud. How many know you can't shout quietly? Shout aloud. Our Gator basketball team, along with every other Florida college, both male and female, are no longer playing in the NCAA tournaments. Yesterday afternoon, the last Florida school, Gulf Coast University girls team, got knocked out of the tournament. Florida got knocked out. SEC got knocked out. SEC was crowing, man. We're shouting loud till we play some other teams. It doesn't matter if you can score 100 points when your team that you're playing scores 102. Guess what? You ain't shouting no more. But Jesus was shouting aloud, and those who were rejoicing over him were shouting aloud because of the victory. He says, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. Listen to this. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The crowds are shouting, Hosanna, which means save. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has saved me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. They were shouting and singing praises. One song of praise that I think they probably were singing came out of Psalm 118. Psalm 118, the whole chapter is just powerful, but I'm going to read you a couple of verses. I can imagine if I close my eyes, if I visualize the scene, Jesus is coming in on the donkey and they're throwing down their branches and they're screaming, Hosanna to the King of Kings, to the King of Israel. You could hear them quoting or singing, oh, give thanks, Psalm 118, to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Any of y'all ever read that psalm where every single verse ends in his love endures forever? How long is forever? Well, it's a long time. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of George, oh, it doesn't say that. Let the house of George cry out his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever. I can hear it. I can visualize it. I can hear the saints. I can hear those who were disciples of Jesus and those who were just wandering a little behind the crowd. They're watching. They're listening. They're wondering what's going to transpire. What's going to happen? They're looking with eyes of fascination. They're listening to their Jewish brothers and sisters cry out, let those who fear the Lord say his love, his steadfast love endures forever. So as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, and it is a day of celebration, King Jesus has arrived. We're not waiting for him to come. He's already come. He's come. So many people say, well, if Jesus came in here, I'd fall on my face. Well, then fall on your face because he's here. He receives the steadfast love of his children. He's here. When I think about the religious leaders of that day, I realize, you know, Jesus was not what the religious leaders of his day expected. Matter of fact, if you watch the incredible series, The Chosen, they do a great job of showing the empire of Rome and the oppression of the Roman soldiers and the chastisement of the Roman soldiers and the putting down from the Roman soldiers. And so as you read this story and see this scene in your mind, you can envision that the religious leaders of that day, they were waiting for a Messiah that would come and liberate them from Rome. But see, what they didn't know was that there was a much greater mission than being liberated from Rome. See, Jesus was coming to liberate you and me from sin, to set us free. Look around today. Where are the Roman soldiers? There are no longer. But sin is rampant. And today many, many need Jesus to liberate them, to set them free, to forgive them. So to the believer in this room this morning, I would say join with us as we sing praise for our King who has come. And never let a rock cry out in your place. And to the wandering in this place, find your place in the crowd. Follow along, either closely or as far behind as you need. Because maybe in following, listening, and watching, maybe you will find what you've been looking for all along, the Savior. Jesus, the Christ, who's come to set us free. For a moment, I would like to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, as I've asked Jamie and the team to lead us in this incredible song that I love so much. It will sound better than what you heard a couple of minutes ago. Close your eyes and think about the blessed assurance that was given to you because of Jesus. What he did, what he accomplished, what he's working out on your behalf. The promises of his word that are yes and amen for life, for salvation, for healing, for completeness, for wholeness. If you don't know Jesus today, it's a great time, even as you just listen to this song, surrender your heart. Pray a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my life. I need you. I need salvation. I need the blessed assurance that I've never known before. And he will save you where you sit. You're watching online. Pray the prayer. Ask Jesus, come into my life. Give my life meaning and purpose and hope. Restore me. Give me a relationship with Father God that I've never known possible. And he will do it for you today. Listen as this song is being sung.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fool.
scripture out of Matthew's gospel. Then I'm going to have Jamie and the team lead us again one more time through this incredibly powerful faith-building song. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. See, this whole message today was leading up to these three verses of scripture. Because after Jesus comes out of the grave, which we will celebrate next Sunday, and after a few days of revealing himself to his disciples and even to multitudes, with 500 plus disciples standing there with Jesus before he ascends back to the right hand of the Father, he says, recorded in Matthew 28, Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He doesn't stop there though. He says, that authority that's been given to me, I give to you. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Boy, you got to love this last line that he declares. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, when you're going through the fire, he's with you. When you're dealing with issues in your family, he has not forsaken you. He is with you. When you're going through something bad and the banker's giving you bad news, he is still there with you. When you feel like you don't have a friend, he's the friend that will never leave you. When you're going through a health issue and the doctor said, but he is still with you. And if there's going to be a but, let it be but God. But God. The doctors might say this, but God. What does he say? So I'm going to pray a prayer. And in a sense, this prayer comes out of something that I went through 46 years ago when I, in obedience to Holy Spirit, left Bible college and went to my next Bible college, which was the United States Air Force. And in Jacksonville, Florida, at the recruitment station, I stood with 45 other young men. We had a president that I loved the privilege of serving. President Ronald Reagan. And we stood there with the American flag. And we said the Pledge of Allegiance. And then the colonel came out and he led us in a commissioning of what we were committing our lives to. To fight, to defend, to protect the nation of America. Both abroad and here at home. And we had to raise our hand and swear to protect, to give our lives if necessary. Today, I'm going to pray a prayer of commissioning. Because, see, we weren't called to just come to the house and get saved and, woo, it's our club and that's for it, no more. No, no, no. We're called to go into our community. And for the next 7 days, we're going to spread throughout Gainesville, Alachua County, North Central Florida. Some are going to other cities this week. Some are going to other countries. And in our going, I want you to not be able to get it out of your mind. I've been commissioned. Every single day, I'm looking for an opportunity. Somebody that I'm going to meet is hurting. Somebody that I'm going to meet is walked away from God. And all they need is somebody to tell them how much God still loves them. And I'm going to be that person. You're going to be that person. because we have been commissioned out of Matthew 28 to go into all the world. And see, preaching's not standing behind the pulpit and having an introduction, 3 points, a story, a joke, and a conclusion. Preaching is living your life in your community. And if they say a four-letter word in front of you, you don't pass out. Start rebuking them, praying in tongues. You realize that that was you, remember, not very long ago. Stub your toe and you went, oh, that's just what comes out of people that don't know Jesus. But man, once they've met the Master and they've been forgiven. You remember when you were forgiven? When I was 8 years old. I'll never forget it. 58 years ago, I ran to an altar, cried, Jesus, save me. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Sin is sin. Jesus is Jesus. And man, does he love the world that we're about to go get in our cars and drive into. And so I want to pray over you this morning. If you're ready to receive that prayer, you don't have to lift your hand like you're swearing in, but I would like you to lift your hands as you're receiving from Christ. So Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, right now, I stretch my hand over this incredible body of believers, over those who are watching online, over those who will listen to a podcast this week and hear this prayer commissioning that we are called to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as I'm stretching my hands over this incredible congregation, I pray that your Spirit would rest greatly upon each and every one of us, that we will feel the responsibility of the lost people of this world, whether it's our mom or our dad or our brother or our sister, our cousin, our uncle, our auntie, Father, our neighbor, the person we work with or work for, Lord, that whoever they are, you love them desperately. So much, Father, that you gave your son Jesus to come and die, not for the righteous, but for the lost. And we were lost, and now we're saved. And yet there are thousands, tens of thousands right here in Gainesville that are wandering in their wilderness. They're lost and without hope. I pray over every person this morning in this place that as we go into our community, that wherever we go, we will be ready instantly in a moment's notice to share our faith through giving a bottle of water, through sharing our testimony, through inviting them just outwardly and boldly to come to church for Easter. Come celebrate with us. We'll take you to lunch. Father, whatever the means, I pray for that fresh anointing and that every person in this room will have a divine appointment today, tomorrow, every day of this week, a divine opportunity to tell somebody Jesus loves them. To those, Father, who work in the hospitals, clinics around this community and ERs, I pray that you would use them in a significant way to be an encouragement, because there are so many hurting people. Suzanne and I, Father, just yesterday talking about how many people we know that are sick and hurting and need hope. I pray that this congregation today will walk out collectively and corporately as hope into this world. And I pray that through that, many will come to church, will come and experience the love of Jesus, hear the gospel preached in a simple but significant way, that they will hear and respond, Jesus, be Lord of my life. We pray that, and I pray that over this incredible family of believers. Use us this week, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now sing with us. Sing with Jamie and them as they lead us.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All the day long.
Listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.